Thank the good Lord for songs this morning, for that beautiful music, for all God's done for us. If you turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2. And while you're turning, another special welcome to the visitors. We do have a lot of visitors here this morning. Thank the Lord for you. We want to make you welcome because you are welcome, and you won't know that if we don't tell you and show it. But we indeed want to. We want to let you feel so welcome. You always feel welcome in your house when you go home, of course. That's the right thing to do. Well, this is not our house. It's the Lord's house. So we're all welcome in His house. Thank God for the ability to be here. In the second book of Samuel, we are introduced to a subject. It's not the first time it's mentioned, but it talks about the fear of the Lord. And Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The olive surely would lack wisdom. You don't learn that in school. You don't learn that in college necessarily. You learn wisdom, and you learn the things of God from the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us so plainly, so vividly, that God is a God to be honored. Now, when He says the fear of the Lord, it doesn't mean that, you know, God's up there, He's not going to treat you right. It doesn't mean that at all. God will treat you right. What it means is that God is a God to be respected, to be honored, to be adored, and we should live a life so pleasing to Him that there's a fear within us of not pleasing Him. And the fear of not pleasing Him is not one that He's going to strike us down with a bolt of lightning, although He could. But that's not God's meaning of it. He wants us to understand and know that when we honor Him, He will honor us. Let's go back in the beginning when God created man. Man walked with God in the cool of the day. And as long as he honored God and kept the sayings of God, how do you honor God? By doing what He says to do, as He says to do it, when He says to do it. He tells us, children, obey your parents. And then He gives us a promise, long life in the land. Honor thy father and thy mother. And when you do that, the promise. How much more when we honor God will He bless us? There are several, many, many places in the Word of God that we could go to let this scripture bear out in your hearing. But in the second book of, first book of Samuel, chapter 2, is a wonderful opportunity to see and know how God wants us to honor Him, and He shows us if we don't honor Him what He will do. Because a lot of times when you get saved, people, they shouldn't, but they do, they take God for granted. Well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. True, if you're saved, you are going to heaven. But then people think they can live anyway, act anyway, not honor God, and not put Him first in their life. And anytime they get in trouble, we've heard a lot about trouble this morning, and trouble's just around the corner. If you're not in it, you will be. God permits it. He allows it. Sometimes He orchestrates it. Why? To let us know that when we honor Him, He'll be there for us. We're going to see this morning in the Word of God that when we don't honor Him and put Him first, He will not be there for us. I'm not saying you lose your salvation because you won't. I'm saying we go through this world and there's trouble. The world hates us. The devil hates us. And society in general don't like the Word of God and doesn't promote the Word of God. And they put down those that do. There's a lot against us. That's okay. If God be for you, who can stand against you? And the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, and verse 30. I want to talk to you this morning about giving honor and glory to God. And remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We want that wisdom, and we want a lot of things instant anymore. I remember coaching Little League basketball and baseball. Kids get out there, and you don't teach them how to slide in the second base, the first thing. You teach them a lot of other things. You teach them how to catch the ball and how to hit the ball, and the rest will come later. I've seen coaches before that would take tee ballers and spend a half an hour teaching them how to slide into second base. Kind of a waste of time. See, there's a starting point. And the starting point is Word of God is to fear the Lord. And that will be the beginning of wisdom. Listen to what he says in the 30th verse of chapter 2, 1 Samuel. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. Now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. How do we honor him? By putting him first in their life, by fearing him, by having no other gods before us. And we could spend the rest of the morning talking about how to honor him, but this example will show us exactly what happens. These are God's people, Israel. God has brought them out of a land, and he has separated the Red Sea. They went over on dry ground. God has blessed them. He's multiplied them, and he'll take care of every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God is rich and has need of nothing. He has all you need and all I need. But the only trouble is, do you and I permit him to have us? Do we give ourselves unto the Lord wholly? And when we do that, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's to honor him and to put him first. Let's look first of all at the statement. God said, you honor me, and I will honor you. And these people, they did not want to do that. How did they do that? Because the priest himself, Eli, he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And those two boys were rebels. Oh, yeah, because of the line of priesthood, they were priests. But they would go to the house of God. Instead of honoring the house of God, they would do everything despite the things of God. And God let Eli know about it. Eli was in the position to do something about it. He was an old man now, and he could have done something about it, but he did not. But the scripture says very clearly, if you honor me, then I'll honor you, thus saith the Lord. But if you don't honor me, then I'll esteem you lightly. And that word we're going to look at a little bit later on, it means that I'll bring discomfort to you. I'll give you dishonor. I'll take away that which I had for you. I had all these riches laid up for you in glory, but you despise me. How do we despise him? Surely we in the house of God this morning wouldn't despise him. No, but if we don't honor him and put him first in their life, he considers that the same thing of despising him because you're going against what he said. How can you say, I love my father and mother, and you don't obey him? He promised, did he not, to the children, if you obey and honor your father and mother, I'll give you long life upon this land. So God expects us now every day of our life to honor him and to bring him honor and glory. And we see many examples in the Word of God. David honored God. He was the youngest of a household of Jesse, and his job is the other older boys no doubt had when they were the youngest before the next one was born. Their job was to go out on the hillsides. Take care of the sheep. That was their livelihood, the herd of sheep that they had. That's where they got their milk and their a lot of the meat and maybe even leather for their shoes and everything. So David's job was to do that. And while he was out there, he had a lot of spare time. And you and I go through life and we say, we don't have any extra time. Well, we all have 24 hours a day. We all have 7 days in the week. But how we use that time. I'm as guilty as the rest of you, but not using that time wisely and putting God first in my life. And when I don't, I'm not honoring him. You honor him by putting his house and his church ahead of anything else in your life. He said that we should put him first before anything. And we thank God that we can do that. Many of you do, and thank God for that. But if we will honor him, he will honor us. He said that. He will not deny his word. So David honored him. while he was out there. No doubt sometime the sheep had grazed and they were maybe in a shady spot away from the heat of the day. And the woods were gone. He could see afar off maybe. And in that time of his spare time, he learned to play the harp. He learned the things of God. And during those days, while you're driving or whatever you're doing, there's time to think about the things of God. Our mind thinks about a lot of things, just wanders around, does it not? But if we would make a conscious effort to meditate and to think the things of God more than we do anything else, that's honoring God. And then he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the house of God, the manner some have. You're here this morning. Thank God for that. He honors that. You're honoring him. Not only do you have a desire to be in the house of God, and he gives you that desire, we make much of it, and God smiles on that. We're putting him first in their life. This is the Lord's day. It's his day, a day to worship him. And then the rest of the week, we have the word of God, and we have the things of God. We have opportunity to honor him all week long. And he says, if you honor me, I will honor you. But the second thing I'd like to point out, we are held accountable for those times we do not honor him. Look at the last part of that verse we just read. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That means treated with dishonor. It means that you'll come to destruction and you'll come to little worth about anything. Oh, I'm rich. I'm not worried about losing my bank account, you might say. And I've got houses and land and cars and I've got all these things. Yeah, that's physical. That is something in the world that you hold. But he's talking about having the blessings of God on your life. Had we not have rather have the blessings of God on our life as all of material things in the world? And Israel now took that for granted. We've got God. He's brought us out of Egypt. He's blessed us. And now we won't honor his house, and we'll do despite what he says, and God will still be there when we need him. But the verse disagrees with that. And God's always said what he meant what he said. Let's see if God bears this out. Look at 1 Samuel 3, verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it will tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. In other words, God's saying Eli is a prime example. I have chosen him and his household to be the priest and to be over the things of God. Instead of honoring me in that office, in that position I put him in, he is not done that, he has brought disgrace on my name. He's not honoring me. His two sons, I've already mentioned before, Hophni and Phinehas, they did not honor God. In fact, they did everything despite the grace of God. He was warned about it and did nothing. And God says, I'm going to bring it down, and when I start it, I'll surely end it. Rest assured, when God starts something, he's big enough to finish the job. Doesn't leave things halfway done like many times you and I might. But then the 13th verse, he says, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity in which he knoweth. I've already told him. And if you didn't know it, now you do. We already knew it. May have slipped in the back part of your mind that if you honor God, he'll honor you. But if you don't honor God, he will make you very, very dishonorable in his sight. Oh, I'm his child. Yeah, a lot of children disobey and dishonor their father and mother. They're still their father and mother's children, all right. But that father and mother don't have a lot of zeal anymore. Perhaps I've helped my children, and they just squander it. I help them, I do this for them, I do that for them. If you aren't like that, you know people that is. And finally, you get tired of it. How much more does God say? Listen to what God says in the 13th verse. I have told him, I have told Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Not the iniquity which he is doing, because he's doing nothing. but he knows about the iniquity. I put him in charge of this, my house. His two sons were appointed because they're in the line of the priesthood, and they are bringing disgrace and dishonor to my house, and he knows about it, and he won't do anything. But I'll do something because I've already spoken. I've told him about it. I've warned him about it, and I will surely bring it down. I'll dishonor him. He sums that verse up, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restraineth them not. God does hold us accountable for a lot of things. I realize once our children get out of the roof of their home, we can't do anything about it. But while they're little, we're responsible. And when they don't obey, it's our job to make them obey. And if we don't, then God holds us accountable. That verse of scripture is so important. Honor God, and he'll honor you. But he will hold us accountable if we do not honor him. And then look what kind of shape Israel gets in. The Philistines, the enemies out there. They always are. The enemies out there ready to assault. They hate the things of God. The Philistines have their own gods. And today you and I live in a world where the majority of people have their own gods, whatever they are. They're sure not the Lord God. But you and I have the Lord God. And we take him for granted. We don't honor him. Eli and these sons were the household of Israel. They were going to be held accountable for their deeds. Let's see what happens in the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter, we see that God brings a nation to the middle of a situation that they need his help. And God will always do that. God will direct and bring whatever he needs to do. He's big enough that he not only controls you and I, but he controls the enemy. God controls the enemy. Yes, all powers, all nationalities, and all powers are ordained of God. He knows everything. He is in control of everything. Look at the fourth division, or the fourth chapter. Look at verse 3. And when the people were come to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of covenant of the Lord of Shiloh unto us, that when he cometh among us, may save us out of the hand of our enemies." Let's go back and make sure we understand what's happening. The children of Israel are subject to the laws of God. They're to honor him. They haven't. And now God arranges to let the enemy come against them. And usually, most of the time, if you honor God, the enemy, he will help you and he will defeat the enemy. This time he didn't. But they were unaware of the reason. Well, I'm not sure about that. But they wouldn't admit. They were aware of it, but they would not admit the reason. We didn't win this battle. In fact, we lost the battle. Why? Oh, we just didn't have the Ark of God with us. It's not just that. See, the Ark of God is the presence of the Lord. And they have miscalculated. We can live any way we want to and treat God's house any way we want to. And then when the enemy comes, all we have to do is just somehow summons God, and he'll let the enemy flee. But he already said, "I won't do that if you don't honor me." So the story continues. Let's keep reading. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of God came to the camp of Israel, shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. We've got God with us now. We keep living like we want to, haphazardly, put God second or third or non-existent in their life. We're in trouble, but God's here to take care of all their needs. The enemy realized that. The enemy, Philistines, we won't read these verses, but this is what happened. The enemy heard all that shouting. What is going on in the house of Israel? They're on that side, we're on this side, and they're awful happy. They just got defeated. And one among them had saw the ark of a God coming in, and they knew, the Philistines, the enemies of God, knew that there was power of God when the ark of God was there. And they started trembling. He said, what's going to happen to us now? We know what God's done before. Look at the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. He brought them out with a mighty hand. The enemy's doing the talking now, not the children of Israel. The enemy has been defeated before, and we're the enemy of the great God, and we're going to be defeated again. Isn't it something where the enemy and the ones that hated God were more afraid? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the children of Israel sure didn't have the fear of God in them right then. But the fear of God was even in the enemy camp. Not that they were worshiping him, but the fear of God was, at least that is the beginning of wisdom. They never excelled or went beyond that. Now the children of Israel, they're in despair. In fact, they are in helplessness. They have summons, and there's the ark of God, all right. But see, the ark of God, there has to be the presence of God with that. We are the temple of the Lord. And nothing changes that except the fact that when God that designed us and saved us and secured us, when we don't honor him, then he won't honor us. We're still saved. But you see, God says, I will render you helpless unless you honor me and put me first. And they would not do that. Look what happens. They said, go get God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Or you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God. Yet haphazardly, many times, we don't put him first. We don't honor him. And we think that the next time a bad situation occurs, all I have to do is get on my knees and say, God, I'm in trouble again. Sometimes he'll let us get defeated. Not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. If we don't have that and we aren't honoring him, then he has already said, they shall be lightly esteemed. They will be discredited. They will not be honored. They will be brought down. They will remain little in my sight. And this is the children of Israel now. This is the household of Israel. There's a verse of scripture I want to read to you in Romans 2. And you might say this is Old Testament. Well, listen to what Romans 2:10 says. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Glory and honor to every man, whether it be Jew or Gentile. So the fact that this is Israel talking only means the fact that God's still the God of his word. They're his people. We're his people. If we're saved by the grace of God, we're under the blood. And God expects no more, no less out of you and I than he did his people Israel. If you honor me, I'll honor you. And if you don't, you can summons me all you want to until you make your mind up and repent. There'd been no repentance. Been brought to their attention. Eli, your two sons are not honoring me. He did nothing. And this morning, you're hearing what God is saying. And I'm hearing what God's saying. And if we're not honoring him, he says, I'll bring you to light esteem. And then when you get in trouble, call on me and I will not answer. Now we have the opportunity of repenting. All they had to do, all Eli had to do was get on his knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I'll fix it. Go to Hophni and Phinehas, his two sons, which he had control over, and say, you boys are doing wrong. Either get right or get out. Simple. God doesn't give you complicated things. Hard to do. Just get right or get out. And God would have honored. And when the ark of God showed up, God would have been with the ark, and the children of Israel would not be in the shape they are in. Yeah, the Philistines would have heard the screaming and then yelling and praising God because they thought that God was with the camp. They didn't know any different. But then when God didn't show up, Israel was going out again in their own power. God wasn't with them. And the Philistines said, well, we don't have much of a chance because we know how big their God is. But they did not know they had not been serving their God. They were not familiar with the verse of scripture that honor me and I'll honor you. And they did not know that Israel had not been honoring God. but they had not. And now the Philistines conquered that. And now they were shouting and screaming, the house of Israel has fallen. Eli's back home, 98-year-old man, had not obeyed God, had not listened to God, like many people don't, like many people won't. And the man ran back to the camp, back to the town, and told all the people what's happened. Not only is Israel defeated, but they have stolen the Ark of the Covenant. And they went and mentioned that to Eli. He's sitting in his chair. Heavy man falls backward and breaks his neck. Why? He was held accountable because he had not honored God. He was helpless. Because of that, he's hopeless. If we don't repent, and we don't return, thus saith the Lord, there's no other choice. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about having the Lord there with you, by your side, to help you, to encourage you, and to strengthen you when you get in trouble. Don't treat God's house as just it's another place. This is the house of God. And many sermons over the years, God has showed me, in the middle of that sermon, anything worth anything will be centered around the house of God. That's the worth of it. If we don't put God's house first, this is a prime example, and there's hundreds of others. If we don't put God first in his place, his house above our house, and more important than anything else, God's not going to honor us. We'll be lightly esteemed in his sight. God doesn't change his word. We may think he does, but he will not. Not only will we be helpless, we'll be hopeless. But then close him. On the positive note, the hand of God is still strong. Oh, yes. All one has to do is repent. None of us here, nobody in the whole wide world this morning that's still living, save, raise your hand and say, I've done right. No, we're sinners. We're saved, but we're still in the flesh. There's nothing good about the flesh. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. But if we're saved and redeemed and put God first in our life, he'll be there with us every step of the way. We will not be helpless. We will not be hopeless. We will not be held accountable. We will be honored. God says, I'll honor you. Isn't that, what a word. The God of heaven. Now if some congressman or some high official or somebody were to call some of us and say, hey, would you come to my office, you know, all this stuff. I want to give you honor. I want to honor you. That would make us feel proud. We'd probably tell everybody, stop this stuff. We've been summoned by somebody important, and we have been honored. That wouldn't mean a whole lot, but we'd think it would. But what about the God of glory, the Creator God? The one that birthed us into his family. The one that died for our sins and shed his blood. The one that sees us as we are. That wants to accompany us on every step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We already saw in Romans, verse 10, chapter 2, he said that our job is to give honor, praise, and glory to him, whether we're Jew or Gentile. And if we do, the God of heaven, the Creator God that controls everything, will honor us. Now, that's something to brag about. That's something to get on the phone and say, my God honored me. Why did he do that? He wants to honor you too. How did you arrange that? I just honored him. I put him first in my life. I put his work, his way, his church first in my life. And that's all I had to do. God already made the decree that if I do that, he will honor me. In chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, let's read that. We'll be closing. Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. New Bible and the pages are sticking bad. 9 and 10. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own cast into Beth Shemesh. Then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so and took two milch kine and tied them to the cart and shut their calves at home. And they laid the ark of God upon the cart, the coffer with the mints of gold and the images of their emeralds. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there while there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kind of burnt offering unto the Lord. The ark of God's going home. God controls the animals that's pulling it. And the Philistines knew that. Is it of God or is it not of God? Well, let's see if their God is big enough to get it home. Just put it on the cart and God directs it. If God can direct the animals, and he can. If God can direct the enemy, and he can. Surely the God, we will humble ourselves before him and let him direct us. And the only way he's going to do that is if we submit ourselves unto the Lord. Holy and acceptable to him. And that's the only acceptable offering we can bring. We bring our tithes. We bring our offerings, and that's acceptable. We do that because we want him, we honor him, and he'll honor us. But at the same time in doing that, you can do that all you want to, but that won't make God honor you unless you give yourself to him. Holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. So the Philistine said, now they got a question asked, did this happen by chance? Do you think it happened by chance that the ark went to the place where God wanted it to go? No, I don't think so. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 9 again. And see if it goeth by the way of his own, on the coast of Beth Shemesh. They have done us as great evil, but if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us, it is chance that happened to us. See, God brought chastisement on the children of Israel because they did not honor God, and when the ark showed up, God wasn't there in his presence. Now the enemy's got it, but it still belongs to God. And they didn't fare too good while it was down there. Because, see, the things of God are strangers to the way of the world, and they can't deal with it. And they thought they would plunder and make abuse of the things of God, which the world does. They won't get by with it. God is a God to be honored, whether it's Jew or Gentile, whether it's Philistines or the enemy or you and I. But surely, whether they're saved, altar before God as we stand this morning and say, God, I give you myself. I'm not much, speaking to myself. But what I am by the grace of God. Now, I do know that I can honor you. Now, I do know that if I'll honor you, you'll honor me. Now, I also know that I'll be held accountable if I don't honor you and put you first in my life and my children's life. Simple things we ought to know. And if I do this, God will help me. I won't be hopeless. I won't be helpless. I'll have high strength from the one above. Your head bowed, altar's open. Come to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart.